Welcome to Career Chats
with Natalie and Jack.
Welcome everyone to the fourth episode of the Foster Career Chats. So today we have a special guest with us, Dr. Andrea Salazar Nunez from the UW Counseling Center. Welcome, Dr. Andrea.
Hello, I am a psychologist at the Counseling Center, and I've been working there for about 2 years. I completed my doctoral education at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and then came over here, and I've been working a lot with underrepresented students and marginalized students, and some work with international students as well.
So. Great. Yeah, so we're excited to have you on this podcast today because so the last three episodes that we have done for Foster Career Chats have been talking to students about tips on job searching. So we talked about informational interviews and interviewing, but I think that it's an important time for us to also acknowledge that in the job search, there are a lot of difficulties and challenges for students as they're going through school, as well as finding a job after they graduate. So we're excited to have you here today to share about your experience working with students that come into your office, and would love to hear a little bit more about through your work with students, what are some of the common experiences or thoughts or concerns that students come in with regarding the job search?
I think a lot of times students, by the time they come to the counseling center, which I think there's a little bit of stress that develops, and maybe something goes wrong and then it prompts them to come in. By the time they come in, they're pretty overwhelmed. And I think some of that comes from the emotional energy it takes to actually be doing the applications and thinking about what are your strengths, what are your areas of growth, and what is your future plans. And I think people underestimate the emotional toll that it takes when you have to answer those questions. Because ideally, you're answering them genuinely and authentically, and that does take a lot of emotional and like psyche sort of energy that can be really draining. And then you add in self-doubt and like maybe previous experiences of not feeling like you have a lot to offer, and so all of those like imposter syndrome and things like that really start to build up and become sort of like this overwhelming force that can be hard. And I think a lot of students are able to do that, but the ones that come to us have kind of come to a point where they feel like I need help getting through the emotional side of the applications.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting you bring up the piece about emotional energy, because I think even for me, I think about job searching of like time, right? It takes a lot of time to write a resume, to do research on a company. And I think about the energy in a sense of like, oh, I physically have to also, you know, write this resume, but I forget about the emotional side of things. And I think it's easy to forget about it because you can't physically see it, right? So I guess what are some of the symptoms that might come from that emotional energy that's being drained?
Yeah.
Maybe some of the more physical symptoms that are easier to see manifest itself.
I think some of the more common ones is sleep disturbance, right? Like they can't shut it off at the end of the night. And maybe they're like waking up in the middle of the night, ruminating, like having these constant thoughts of like, did I fill that out? Like, what are my strengths? Like, they're just running through things constantly and they just can't shut off. And maybe having, because of some of that sleep disruption, they're not concentrating in class well and they don't feel present with others. It's just kind of like they're in a fog sometimes. And I think that can be a good telltale sign that maybe you're a little bit overwhelmed and need some support and some space to kind of flush some of that out so you don't have to carry so much of it like all day long and let it get in the way of classes, relationships, work, things like that.
Right. Yeah. Sleep's very important. Yeah. I know I really enjoy my sleep, and I know sometimes students can get away with not getting a lot of sleep, but I think over time, like you were saying, it can start to really deteriorate someone's energy and motivation or even ability to maintain relationships in their life. That's great. I like what you've talked about, how there's a lot of that self-doubt and how you bring that up as it's an important piece to, you know, staying healthy during this process of job searching. Are there tips on how one can talk to themselves about how to manage through that self-doubt? Yeah. Because I know that there's a lot of self-talk that's probably creating that self-doubt. So how can we combat that self-doubt?
Yeah. And that's exactly where I kind of start with students, you know, and do other things too. But I think the self-talk is so important because when you're already feeling under the microscope doing all these application stuff and people are wondering, like, what is your worth? And you don't need to be beating up yourself inside as well. So really switching some of that negative self-talk to, and I tell students, if you can't make it, reframe it to more positive, at least make it neutral. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a lot of applications. Like, that's neutral. Mm-hmm. And positive reframe would be more like, I'm working really hard to a future that I really want. Right. Mm-hmm. And like kind of reframing that internal, like, I'm so stressed out, this, you know, am I doing any good? Am I going to get a job? Like, all that negative self-talk is just going to burn you out from the inside. Mm-hmm. So reframing some of those thoughts are really important. And like I said, if you can do positive, at least do neutral.
Okay. Yeah, I've never heard that piece about at least do neutral. It's better than negative, right? It's like getting one step closer to positive.
Yes.
The reframing, I think the reframing of the situation is really important. But for me, that's really hard. Mm-hmm. Do you have any tips on how to reframe into, maybe let's just start with reframing to neutral?
Yeah. Well, so the neutral thing, I think, comes a lot from mindfulness, some of the mindfulness meditation stuff out there, where you really, in order to like not engage in those like emotions that sort of take over, you kind of take a step back and just make observations without judgment, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I have a lot going on, but if you talk to yourself and tell yourself, like, I have so much, I'm overwhelmed, like, of course you're going to engage in that negative feeling, right? But if you can take a step back and be like, okay, I have all these applications to do and I'm going to be working on them, that's kind of like a more of an observation and not judgment, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where like the neutral piece can kind of come in. And I think switching it to more positive comes from identifying your values. So why are you doing this, right? And you'll be able to find a positive reframe if you figure out like why you're doing this in the first place. Like, it's really important for me to build a great future, so I'm doing all these things to build that future, right? So that can kind of like help you identify your values, that kind of help get you to that positive reframe.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's a really great way of looking at it, of, you know, really giving yourself credit for the work that you've already put into it, even though you haven't necessarily gotten the end result.
Right.
It's a process, and obviously it takes baby steps to get to that process. And so I think finding small wins in there as well can help with the reframing.
That's another thing too, is I always try to encourage students to think about the micro successes, as I call them. Mm-hmm. There's like a lot of research on like microaggressions and how those things can really build up and impact our like mental health. But there's also micro successes. If you wait until you get that big job and like you don't feel good until that happens, like, it's going to be a rough road. Mm-hmm. So acknowledging and kind of, I guess, building like gratitude for it too, is like acknowledging the things that you are accomplishing along the way. Like, I finished this application. Yay me. Like, micro success. And mm-hmm. celebrate that. And then it becomes more of like successes built on each other to reach an even bigger success marker. And so that way, like, you're appreciating the process as opposed to like resenting it.
Right, definitely. Yeah, I've never heard micro successes either, but I like that practice as well. So we've talked about self-doubt and the emotional energy that it takes to, you know, be a part of the job search. Are there any other common emotions that you see a lot of students, maybe it's whether it's the pressure, like how do you handle the pressure that you get from either familial pressure or society? Can you talk a little bit more about how to manage through that pressure and the stress that you get externally?
Yeah, and I think like some of that, you know, when I talk to students, can be very individual, right? Like, the pressure that they feel comes from like their own like background and, you know, stuff that they're kind of bringing with them. So it's kind of like figuring out, what is this pressure for you coming from, right? Are you first generation and you're trying to like, you know, prove to your family like, I can do this, and prove to yourself, and so you're putting on like that kind of pressure? Or are you coming, you know, international student, right, where their family is expecting them to come to the U.S. and succeed, and so that's where that pressure comes from them. And so it's kind of like being able to identify and learning how, again, kind of more of the reframe, because the pressure is going to be there. It's more of how can you manage it and deal with it and not let it negatively impact mm-hmm. your process and applications and finding a job.
Yeah, your outlook.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just about validation. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are under a lot of pressure, and this is where it comes from, and just being able to state that and acknowledge it, so it doesn't feel like this big, huge backpack you're carrying along the way, of more of just like putting it in its place as part of the process.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's where bringing in, again, those micro successes mm-hmm. can help that validation throughout the process. Absolutely. So that it doesn't feel like you're doing all this work to get to potentially maybe not get that end result, or feel like that there's a chance that you may not get that end result, which is finding a job after you graduate, but acknowledging that there are a lot of small wins that you can get along the way to help motivate you.
And I think the other thing too is that another thing to kind of relieve some of the pressure is to reduce all or nothing thinking. Like, if I don't get this, like, then that, like, that's it, versus I'm shooting for this, and here are my other options if I don't, right? Like, mm-hmm. there is no big fail. It's more of, like, where is my path going to take me to get to where I want to go, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's another big thing to help with the pressure thing. Like, don't put yourself feel more of the pressure by putting all your eggs in one basket, and it doesn't work out, and then you feel, like, completely devastated. That might be just the first stop in your journey for finding where, like, you're going to end up. And even if you don't have, like, literal options, it's, like, at least thinking that way, like, I know myself, and if I don't achieve this, I'm going to find something else that I am going to achieve.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. I actually have talked with a couple students in the last few days who are in this situation of they're trying to find a job, and they've gone through a couple interviews. Maybe one of them, you know, hasn't really started yet, but they're both very stressed out in that they feel like they're under a time crunch because they're both graduating in a few months. And, you know, I look at them and I see their resume, and I'm talking to them and talking about their experience. And they have great experience, and they seem like they have, and they've obviously, you know, done really well leading up to this point. Getting to UW is already a feat in itself, right? Mm-hmm. A success. Mm-hmm. So I always tell them, you think back in your life, you know, when has something not worked out for you? Mm-hmm. So you have a history of things working out. Maybe it wasn't exactly what you thought, but you ended up here today,
yes.
Which is makes you already successful. So to keep that in mind of looking at your history, and that you have history of having things work out, and knowing that it will eventually work out this in this next phase of your life as well.
Yeah. That's huge, because I do get a lot, especially at the UW, like, high-achieving students, and so they don't really have a lot of, like, failure per se, and so they can feel like, oh my god, I can't fail at all. Mm-hmm. And some of it is, like, it's not a bad thing. Like, sometimes when you don't get one opportunity, another opportunity that's even better and better fit for you comes along. And I think that's important. If they do have examples of that's happened in the past, it's awesome. And I think one thing, you know, at least the students that come to me, is that, like, when they feel like they're failing, it's the first time ever they've failed in their life. And so they don't, the black and white thinking is very strong. Like, this mm-hmm. is it, you know. Whereas the whole thing right now in the university, like, failing forward, like, how can you actually make this a good experience for yourself and learn from it and keep moving?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about the idea of failure, because what you say about high-achieving students, I think, resonates a lot with our students. Mm-hmm. And so it might be this is the first time that they're really going through something that there is an imminent idea of failure. Yeah. How do you have any advice on how to manage through that failure? You talked a little bit about, like, thinking about what you've learned through that experience. Could you talk a little bit more about some other ideas of how to manage the idea of failure?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and that is one area that does become hard, right? If the student has never experienced, like, any high stakes failure, they can feel they've built so much, they've gone through so much, and they've done so well, and then something's not going right. If they take it very personal, right? And, like, then I must be a failure completely, and forget, like, all of the wonderful achievements, because they kind of take it for granted being such a high achieving student. Like, that's not a path that most people have, and that kind of record, and trying to get them to remember their strengths and to pull from their strengths, and how do we take those and move forward with them. And one thing that I've, like, had to work with students who are very high achieving, never had any sort of failure, is, like, this is a new challenge to overcome, and to, like, just like all those other achievements, right? Like, this is a new area that you get to explore and work on and overcome, mm-hmm. right? And that on by itself can be a whole new strength and skill that you build.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And kind of, reframing.
What you mentioned, that UW has this idea of failing forward. Are there certain resources that you recommend students to take advantage of while they're here at UW?
Yeah, so the Fail Forward, I think, is pretty new, and I don't even know all of the different things that it offers, but there's a website. If you just enter in Fail Forward on the UW website, it'll take you, I think it's live now where they have more resources and what that means. But I think even coming to the counseling center is one of those resources too. Like, how do you work through the so-called failure in a positive way, as opposed to feeling like you need to give up, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the piece too. There's so many high achieving students here, and there's these really high stakes and high pressure majors like computer science and blah, blah, blah. And these students feel like if they don't get what they originally had their goal, like, then that's it. And, you know, and they drop out, and there's other things related to that too, like mental health issues. And so we're trying to help those students realize that that's not the end of the road, right? Mm-hmm. And so how do we help people explore the other options that are out there too? Or if that's what they want, how is another way to get there?
Mm-hmm. So what is that? So for someone maybe that's never gone to the UW Counseling Center, what does that look like? What does that process look like? So can you walk just through what students could expect in maybe that first experience with the Counseling Center?
Yeah. So also, just to take a step back, there's two mental health facilities on campus, mm-hmm. The UW Counseling Center and then Hall Health. And Hall Health will utilize your insurance, so you have to have insurance to go there, but it is another option for counseling services, mm-hmm. and then the UW is covered by tuition, so you don't need insurance.
So it's free, for all students, current students. Great.
And both of them, you need to have an intake appointment, scheduled intake appointment, and then from there, they sort of determine a short-term therapy, because that's what both of us offer, appropriate for your need or not. And then they have social workers to help connect students to off-campus resources. But we will work with you in anywhere from 6 to 10 sessions. It's not sort of anything, there's no set number, but it's generally short term, mm-hmm. Which I think most students on this campus are pretty high functioning anyways, and they don't necessarily need ongoing. If they do, then we will help them get there, mm-hmm. right? So that's what it basically looked like. At the counseling center, we get kind of busy, so it's better to come in the beginning or towards the middle of the quarter rather than the end, because mm-hmm. then even if you do get an intake, you might not see your therapist for 2-3 weeks, and then the quarter's going to be over soon, so mm-hmm. you want to get in there as soon as something comes up, mm-hmm. make an appointment and get established care, and then we also have a counselor on duty every day. And so if there's a moment where they just feel like they're in complete crisis, they can't go to class, they're not eating, maybe they have an actual crisis situation, someone passes away or something like that, they can always go speak to a counselor right away.
Mm-hmm. So, for students, I really encourage you all to consider the counseling center, whether it's or reaching out to a counselor or a therapist if you have any questions about how you're feeling through this job search or just anything related to academics as well. So with that, I want to thank you, Dr. Andrea, and for your time and your tips today. Yes, we appreciate the work that you're doing for UW students.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.